Title: Snare Presence Without Harshness, Using Arrangement View Intermediate. All right, let's dial in one of the most important DNB mixing skills, getting your snare to feel loud, exciting, and right in your face, without that brittle, painful sting in the upper mids. Because here's the problem in drum and bass: you've got rolling subs, Reese mids, constant hats and rides, and a snare that has to be the front of house energy. If you just boost highs to make it cut, it'll sound sick for about 30 seconds and then it becomes ear fatigue city. So this lesson is about doing it the grown-up way, using arrangement view to make the snare behave differently in different sections. Bright and close in the intro or build-up, but smoother and less spiky in the drop, where there's way more competition. First, get set up for arrangement-based mixing. Hit tab to make sure you're in arrangement view. And I want you thinking in sections. A common DNB layout is something like intro from bar 0 to 16, build up 16 to 32, drop 1 from 32 to 64, a break around 64 to 80, then drop 2 from 80 onwards. Color code your groups so you can move fast. Kick, snare, tops, percussion, bass, music. This matters because we're going to do mix moves that change by section, without constantly redesigning the snare sound itself. Now let's build a snare command center. Select every track that is part of your snare identity. Main snare, layered clap, rim, ghost snare, any little texture layers. Group them with CTMD or Ctrl-G. Name it snare bus. Inside that group, I want you to think like a mixer, not like a sample pack browser. Most snares can be described as three jobs. 1. Snare body, that's the weight and throat, often living around 150 to 250 Hz. Plus some character up through about 400 to 800. 2. Snare crack. That's the stick and the bite, typically 1 to 4 kHz. 3. Snare air. That's the fizz and sparkle, like 6 to 12 kHz. But this is the layer that will betray you if you push it too hard. A lot of harshness in DNB is not because your snare is bad. It's because your crack and air layers are too static across the entire song. They might be perfect in the intro, then absolutely savage in the drop once the hats and rides join the party. Next, gain staging for consistency before you EQ anything. On each snare layer track, put a utility first. Set levels so your snare bus peaks around minus 10 to minus 6 dB on the loudest hits before the master. Give yourself headroom. If your snare is already slamming the bus at minus 2, every processor after it is going to behave dramatically, and it gets hard to control harshness without killing the vibe. Here's an arrangement trick that instantly reduces harshness in quieter sections. Don't reach for top-end EQ to hear the snare, just automate a tiny bit of gain. On the snare bus utility, automate gain. In the intro or break, bump it up maybe plus 0.5 to plus 1.5 dB. In the drop, bring it back to zero. Why this works? You're increasing presence by level, not by brightness. And brightness is what usually turns into that brittle 3 to 8 kHz pain zone. Now, let's remove harshness surgically with dynamic control. Add multiband dynamics either on your snare crack layer or on the snare bus if the harshness feels like it's coming from the combined sound. If you're not sure, start on the crack layer first. It's usually the main offender. Set crossovers roughly like this: low band up to 200 Hz, mid band 200 Hz up to about 4.5 kHz, and high band above 4.5 kHz. Now focus on the high band. Set a ratio around 2 to 1, maybe up to 3 to 1. Then pull the threshold down until you see about 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction only on the loudest hits. Attack should be around 5 to 15 milliseconds. That lets the transient through so the snare still feels like it pops, but it clamps down on the sting that comes right after. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds for a smooth recovery. Teacher tip: do this in context. Don't solo the snare and sculpt it into something polite. Loop the busiest part of your drop with hats and bass, and listen quietly. Quiet volume is like a harshness detector. If at low volume the snare still feels like it's poking your eardrum, you've got an upper mid problem, not a level problem. Next, create presence using parallel saturation instead of boosting highs. This is a big one. If you want a snare to read on small speakers, you don't always need more 10 kHz. You need more information in the upper mids, like 1 to 3 kHz harmonics, and saturation is perfect for that. Create a return track called snare PARSAT. On it, add saturator. Use analog clip or soft sign. Start with drive around 2 dB and creep up, maybe to 6 if it's really working. Turn on soft clip. After that, at EQ 8, high pass around 150 Hz so you don't add low mud. If you need more read, at a small boost around 1.5 to 3 kHz, like 1 or 2 dB. And if you add a high shelf at all, keep it tiny, half a dB to 1 dB max. Now send your snare to that return lightly. Think subtle, usually around minus 18 to minus 10 dB worth of send, depending on your gain staging. You're not trying to hear distortion. You're trying to feel that the snare is easier to locate in a mix. Extra coach note, if your parallel gets fizzy, low pass it. A really strong move is making a mid-forward parallel. Saturator into EQ, then low pass around 7 to 9 kHz. You'll get more definition without battling your hats. Now we go into the main point of this lesson, arrangement view automation. Brighten the build, smooth in the drop. First, automate snare brightness per section, but keep it restrained. On the snare bus, add an EQ8 if you don't already have one. Make a high shelf around 7 to 9 kHz. Keep it subtle, we're talking 0 to plus 2 dB max, and honestly, you can get away with even less. Automation idea, intro and build-up, plus 1 to plus 2 dB so the snare feels close and exciting when the arrangement is sparse. Then in the drop, pull it back to around 0 to plus 0.5 dB, because in the drop, your hats and rides are already providing brightness. If your snare stays that bright too, that's when the whole mix turns into white noise fatigue. Second, automate transient bite, not raw volume. Put drum bus on your snare bus. Keep drive light, somewhere between 0 and 10. Turn boom off. Most of the time you don't need it on a snare bus. Now use the transients control carefully. Automation idea. Ramp transients up slightly in the buildup, like plus 8 up to plus 14 as you approach the drop. Then for the first 8 bars of the drop, reduce it slightly, like plus 14 down to plus 10. That gives you that impact moment without turning the entire drop into a sharp, sandpapery snare. Advanced variation. If you notice that shaping the whole bus makes the high layers edgy, move transient shaping to the crack layer only. Let the body layer stay more natural. Third, automate reverb length and amount per section, so the drop stays punchy. Create a return track called snare verb. Put hybrid reverb or reverb on it. Set per delay around 15 to 30 milliseconds, so the dry hit stays clean and the space blooms after. Decay. In the build-up you can go longer, like 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. In the drop, tighten it, 0.3 to 0.6. Filter the reverb. High pass the verb around 250 to 400 hz, and low pass around 8 to 10 kHz. That low pass is a secret weapon, because bright reverb is often the actual harsh element, not your snare sample. Automation. Intro can have a bit more reverb for vibe. Build up. Gradually increase the send for energy and anticipation. Then at the drop, pull that send down so the snare is dry, punchy, and commanding. And if you want the best of both worlds, do this. Put a compressor after the reverb on the snare verb return, sidechained from the dry snare. Fast attack, medium release, a few dB of gain reduction right on the hit. That way you can run more reverb for size, but the transient stays clean. Next up, clip gain for consistent hits, which is way more powerful than people think. If your snare sample varies, or you've got layered audio that sometimes spikes, click the snare audio clip in arrangement, and adjust clip gain so the loudest hits don't jump out. If certain hits are harsher, like a fill or an accent, split them with CMD or Control E, and reduce those specific hits by half a dB to 2 dB. This is how you avoid overcompressing the entire snare just because two hits were rude. Now make room in the arrangement, because sometimes harshness is actually masking. A really clean trick is to duck the tops slightly when the snare hits. On your tops group, add a compressor. Enable sidechain and choose your snare or snare bus post effects as the input. Ratio around 2 to 1. Attack 5 to 15 milliseconds. Release 60 to 120. Set threshold for about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction when a snare hits. That tiny duck often makes the snare feel louder and smoother at the same time, because you stop fighting the cymbals. And if your bass has aggressive upper mids, like a Reese that's screaming around 2 to 4 kHz, do a small dip around 2.5 to 3.5 kHz on the bass, or automate that dip a touch deeper during the densest drop sections. Sometimes the snare doesn't need to change at all. The stuff around it does. Now let's make this workflow fast and repeatable. Build a section-based snare bus rack. On the snare bus, create an audio effect rack and set up macros. Macro 1. Presence. Map it to your EQ shelf gain, and maybe a little saturator drive or your parallel send. Macro 2, harsh control. Map it to the multiband dynamics high band threshold, or a de-esser amount if you're using one. Macro 3, snap. Map it to drum bus transients. Macro 4. Verb send. Map it to the snare verb send. Now automation becomes musical, not technical. In the build-up, presence up and verb up. In the drop, harsh control a bit stronger. Verb down. Snap adjusted. And one more coach move. Prefer range limited automation. Instead of one giant EQ move, stack three small moves. A tiny gain change, a tiny transient change, and a tiny saturation blend. That reads as controlled and professional, not like the snare changed into a different sample. Quick harshness safety checks before you call it done. 1. Listen quietly in the drop. If it still stings at low volume, it's nearly always that 3 to 8 kHz region being too aggressive. 2. Do a quick mono check. On the master, throw a utility and set width to 0% for 10 seconds. If the snare suddenly turns spitty or weird, it might be facey stereo air from a layer or reverb. In that case, tame the stereo sources, like the air layer or reverb EQ, rather than carving the whole snare. 3. Manage the first hit after the drop. A lot of drops feel harsh because that first snare is the brightest and loudest moment in the whole track. Treat it like a special effect. Split that one hit, reduce clip gain slightly, or pull your high shelf down just for that bar. The drop can feel bigger, because you don't shock the listener's ear. Now a quick 15-minute practice routine to lock it in. Loop 8 bars of build-up and 8 bars of drop. On the snare bus, add EQ8 with a high shelf, multiband dynamics controlling high band, and drum bus for transients. Automate the EQ shelf from about plus 1.5 dB in the build-up down to about plus 0.3 in the drop. Automate the multiband high threshold so it's a little more controlling in the drop, because that's where you need protection. Automate the reverb send higher in the build-up and lower in the drop. Then a slash be it. Turn automation off, then on. At low volume, you should always be able to locate the snare. At louder volume, the drop should stay energetic without turning spitty by the time you reach bar 16. And remember the rule. If it feels harsh, reduce brightness first. Then add presence using harmonics, transients, and space. Not treble. Let's recap the big idea. Arrangement view is the secret weapon. Your snare does not need one static setting for the whole track. This audio version is shortened for playback.